What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Broadcasting live from the Just Call Jed studios. Injured? Call Jed.com. This is Western New York Sports Giant. WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, it's a beautiful August 25th. Here in Western New York. Good morning, everybody. Brayton Wilson here with you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Filling in today along with Paul Hamilton joining me as, Paul, it's nice and exciting because football season is that much closer. The preseason ends. We get roster cut down day tomorrow, and then it's full go steam ahead to the regular season. How are you today, Paul?
I'm well. How have you been?
Not too bad. Not too bad at all. And right away, Paul, we're going to be joined here on the Western Hotline, joined by our own Sal Capaccio, as we're going to recap quickly the preseason finale, I should say, from Saturday against Tampa, and also kind of get an early look ahead to tomorrow's roster cut down day. Sal, good morning. How are you today?
Pretty good, guys. Good morning to you. It is actually a little sprinkly down in Olean, beautiful Bartlett Country Club. Rain was this morning. It stopped for a while. It was nice. The sun came out. It's starting to sprinkle again, but I think we're going to be okay here for the annual Coaches versus Cancer Golf Classic.
Yeah.
Beautiful Bartlett Country Club.
Yeah, absolutely. Sal, feel free to give us a plug in terms of what's exactly going on and what you're taking part in today.
Yeah, it's been my honor to be the MC for the dinner and golf. It's a Sunday night. Last night came up into Monday golf event, and it's Coaches versus Cancer, and people have seen throughout the college basketball world for many years how the college basketball coaches have gathered together to really raise money. Really, it was started a long time ago in a lot of ways by Jim Valvano and, what he and his family went through. And, I've been a college basketball fan my whole life. I really have. And, for me to be able to be here and be a part of this with so many great college coaches, obviously Mark Schmidt is here. Adrian Wojnarowski is here, obviously now at Bona, and just saw Mike McDonald and I know Jim Christian from Canadian, but a lot of great coaches here. And, cancer touches everybody in some way, shape, or form, whether it's yourself, your family, your friend. I know there's been a lot of cancer struggles and battles in my family personally, a lot of friends. We've lost friends and family members to cancer. So, try and, really raise a lot of money to fight this horrible disease is something that I take a lot of pride in doing this every year down here.
Well, good on you, Sal. And hope you guys raise a lot of money and do a lot of good things for cancer research today down in Olean. Let's get to the football action, Sal. Obviously, the Bills, they wrapped up their preseason on Saturday with a win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 23-19. I know that usually in the final preseason game, there's the roster battles that are going on for guys that are trying to make the 53-man roster. There's not entirely a lot of sexy headlines that go into the final preseason game. But, I mean, in your eyes, what stood out to you the most from that contest?
I think what stood out to me most is the difference night and day from the previous week for a lot of the same guys, right? The same group that was on the field in Chicago. I thought they had a lot of pride in what they, wanted to put on film that did not show up as much in Chicago, and it definitely did show up more in Tampa, and that was good to see. That wasn't all the same players, of course, but many of the same second stringers and third stringers, guys fighting for spots. And look, we all know that a lot of those guys in that field are not going to be around as of 4 p.m. tomorrow. But maybe they did enough to give themselves a shot at the practice squad. Maybe they did enough to give themselves a shot on another team's 53-man roster or practice squad. That's what you like to see, and that was great. And, of course, some roster battles and positions. And let's start with Shane Buechel. And, I mean, he was fantastic. 25 of 30, 278 yards. It was amazing after the game. On the field, if people didn't hear the on-field interview, really glad to catch up with him because he was emotional, and he told me that he had never played a full NFL game, and that makes sense. He had never played in a regular season game, and this was the first time he ever went wire-to-wire in a preseason game. But for him to put together that performance, I think that it will be noticeable by teams, and maybe he doesn't make the practice squad. But I do think he is in the conversation to be the practice squad quarterback over Mike White. We'll see how that goes. And then, of course, I think Tyrell Shavers is the other guy that really stands out. What he did, he's fighting for that sixth wide receiver spot, and I think he's going to get it. I did a 53-man roster projection, guys. I have Tyrell Shavers on the team. I just think he did enough, and I think he's playing enough special teams to justify them keeping him and playing him.
Do you think there's any danger as far as getting cut by either Elijah Moore or Curtis Samuel?
I do think it's a discussion more with Samuel, Paul, and sure, Elijah Moore could be in this boat too, but the fact that Elijah Moore wasn't playing long into the game, I think tells you that he's probably pretty safe on this roster. But I do think you have to kind of go through that and see. He has some guarantees in his contract. That's always something that you have to think about because you're already spending money whether he's on the roster or not. But the same thing with Curtis Samuel. For his case, $7 million, right, of a base salary. And you do save $500,000 by cutting him, but you've already spent that $7 million whether he's on the roster or not. And when he's been healthy, and he's showed up pretty well. We saw that last year towards the end of the season, the Denver playoff game. And even when he came back last week, Paul, the one thing that I think I keep remembering Sean McDermott saying over the last week or so is how he really liked when Curtis was playing and healthy last week, a couple days in practice, that he liked what he saw. But lo and behold, he gets sick. He doesn't make the trip. Here comes some unavailability again. I do think they have to make a decision there, but I just don't think – it's to the point where they probably feel comfortable keeping somebody else unless they only go five wide receivers and Tyrell's one of them. I think Moore and Samuel, to me, are on the roster.
Sal, another focus from the Bills from that preseason game was defensively, especially in the secondary with Cole Bishop once again playing in the early stages of that game. Personally, I was kind of happy to see how Cole Bishop played. I thought he was active. I thought he was engaged. I thought he was reading plays really well. What did you take away from Cole Bishop and how now the safety complexity is going to look as we get closer to the regular season?
Yeah, I like those two words you used, and I think he was aggressive and attacked. He looked confident to me. I think we all just need to, Bills fans need to take a collective breath on safety and Cole Bishop and understand what kind of is happening here, which is he needs more reps. He needs more time on task, and the more that happens, the more you see that maybe he's going to be okay, right? But we'll see. We'll see what happens once it gets to the regular season. I think we all know now one thing is sure, unless something were to happen between now and then at practice, Cole Bishop is the starting safety next to Taylor Rapp. They are not moving off that. There's not going to be someone else coming in here. He's not going to be losing a job to somebody else on the roster. Now the question is, can he do enough in the season, in games, to make plays, to show that he belongs on the field as a regular starter for the entire season? I think they really like the way he's progressed here since he's come back from injury. And I just think, like you said, that he looked like he was more confident. He looked like he was more comfortable. He was attacking. And that kind of Cole Bishop is a good Cole Bishop for the Buffalo Bills. That's what they need.
Do you think the players, there's 2 weeks now of practice before the first regular season game. Do you think they would rather just let's get into it? Let's go. I mean, let's not drag this out for 2 weeks. I don't think coaches mind, getting on the practice field for a couple of weeks. But from a player standpoint, do you think they would rather just get at it or don't they mind the 2 weeks?
Paul, I think a lot of guys are chomping at the bit. I really do, right? They want to get out there. They want to play. I mean, especially think of the starters, right? Josh Allen didn't take a snap in the preseason, preseason, first time in his career. There's going to be starters who want to play. They want to get right after it with the Baltimore Ravens. But I also think there's probably a lot of them that says, okay, it's time to reset here. Let's get healthy. One of the big issues right now with the Bills is the amount of injuries they have. Now, they're not really long season-ending injuries. And, of course, that being said, we don't know yet the status on Tre'Davious White. We'll see where that goes. But they don't have these long, injuries through the season. What they have is a whole bunch of guys who are banged up. So I think, Paul, from that perspective, I think they want to get their bodies right. I think they need the 2 weeks. They want the 2 weeks. Get their bodies right. Get into practice. Start game planning for the Baltimore Ravens and be ready to rock and roll on Sunday night, September 7th.
Sal Capaccio joining us here in the Western Hotline on WGR Sports Radio 550. Sal, I mean, I read your arrow up, arrow down article, and I think one thing that was another good positive out of this game was the fact that nobody else got injured as a result of this game. But, of course, there's still some question marks as we enter the final days before the start of the regular season, one of them being Tre'Davious White. What do we know about the extent of his injury and his timeline possibly?
Yeah, so we know that's a leg injury, lower body injury. That's what Brandon Bean told Josh Reed and Channel 4 before the game on Bills Kickoff Live. And then Sean McDermott, we know after the game, told Jay Skursky, the Buffalo News, that they're going to get an MRI. They're still waiting on MRI. So we'll see where it goes. The fact that Dane Jackson played so late into this game, I think can look at two ways. One, for Dane Jackson, that's usually not a great sign for a guy, but also could be encouraging that they maybe didn't. They know that maybe they're getting Tre'Davious White back at some point, so they're not, you know, making sure they just really protect another outside corner in Dane Jackson. I'm just trying to read the tea leaves here. So that's what we know, you know, that's what we know from what they said, and that's what we can interpret from what we saw. But we really don't know anything and probably won't until Brandon Bean speaks to us again Wednesday mid-afternoon. I think around then, usually that's when we get them. When the roster gets trimmed on Tuesday, we hear from Brandon Bean. But guys, who knows? It's been kind of like it's been kept very close to the vest, right, about Tre'Davious White. His injury. The fact that they haven't gone out and immediately like been bringing in corners and signing a corner, I think should be encouraging. They did make a move and people said, well, is this a sign because they made a move the other day? But that was really one guy was out, one guy was in. It was a one for one. It was just to fill in the roster for the end of the season there. But I think that's encouraging, at least from my standpoint, my perspective, that they haven't been going out and bringing in all these corners and signing somebody. So let's see where it goes. We'll find out more midweek, I would guess, at the latest on Tre'Davious White.
Did you feel Dane Jackson kind of redeemed himself in this Tampa game? He made some plays in the game, definitely, and I kind of thought he had struggled before that.
You know, Paul, I do in a way because, see, I think that Dane Jackson is kind of a guy who has this floor where you know when he steps on the field, he's going to know the system. He's going to be very coachable. He's going to do exactly what you ask. He's not going to make these game-changing plays. He's not going to be this wildly athletic guy that's going to go out there and, you know, turn heads and shut down the other team. And right now in this situation, because Tre'Davious White has this injury that we don't know what the length or status is, I think Dane Jackson becomes very important here for that reason. Like, if you have to plug and play a guy, this is the guy you're going to do. And I know that doesn't sit well with a lot of Bills fans, but again, you'd rather have a guy that you understand. He knows your system. You understand what he's about. He understands what you're about. The communication is there. And you go into a game against the Baltimore Ravens and can play than somebody who just bring off the street who you have to get up to speed on that. I do think he made some plays in this game, no doubt about it. I don't know if there's enough plays to be made to justify a spot in the 53 if Tre'Davious White's healthy. If he is healthy, I think Dane Jackson becomes a practice squad guy because I think that's the perfect practice squad veteran that you can call on, break glass in case of emergency if you have an injury throughout a week. But it might come down to one spot for Dane Jackson, or maybe two spots, I guess. Dane Jackson, Jamarcus Ingram, and Dorian Strong. Dorian Strong, sixth-round pick. Do they want to risk losing him to waivers? Or are they confident with, hey, we'll get him back on the practice squad. Then you can keep both Dane and Jamarcus. Jamarcus, he plays outside. He plays nickel. He plays dime safety. I just feel he does so much for them that I'd be surprised if they released him. But I think there's if everybody's healthy, including Trey, I think there's two spots for three guys.
Sal, before we let you go here on this Monday morning so you can get to work as doing MC work today, just give a rundown in terms of what people should expect over the next coming days as we get ready for the season opener coming up on the Sunday, the 7th of September at this point.
Today and tomorrow, there's really not going to be any media from the Bills. They're going to be working on their roster, and we already know through reports from the NFL Network that Jordan Phillips is visiting the Bills and intends to sign on a 53-man roster. I think that's super interesting. What does that mean for, is it Daquan Jones? Is it Dwayne Carter? Is it Larry Ogunjobi who's suspended? I mean, I just think that this is really fascinating what's happening here. So those are the things that are happening over the next, 24 to plus hours until 4 p.m. tomorrow. By 4 p.m. tomorrow, everybody has to be down to 53 guys. What you're going to see at 4 p.m. tomorrow is you're most likely going to see Max Harrison get placed on IR to return. So that means he stays on IR, but he can come back after 4 weeks. You're going to see Michael Hoyt and Larry Ogunjobi, if he's still on the team, be on the suspended list. They do not have to make the 53. They go right there. And you're going to see probably Cedric Van Pran Granger on the PUP list. He doesn't have to make the 53. Then from there, Everybody around the league is cutting guys. And if you haven't been in the league 4 years, you're subject to waivers. The Bills could go pluck a guy from another team that gets released. And then you have more roster gymnastics. And then we'll hear from Brandon Bean some point on Wednesday. The team will be back to practice later this week. And then next week becomes a full week leading up to the opener.
Very good. Well, Sal, we'll let you get to it. Enjoy the day. Enjoy the next couple of days as we'll be sure to stay glued to everything that you've got going on with the Bills at Orchard Park. Thanks again.
All right, you got it, guys. Thanks a lot. Have a great day.
Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline here on WGR as the Bills now shift focus, Paul, to the regular season after their win on Saturday, getting the victory over Tampa. Now it's on to the regular season. They first got to get through the roster cutdown day, which comes at your way at 4 o'clock tomorrow. Some interesting names that could be on the chopping block, Paul. I know that with Sal, we talked about a number of them, but the one that he mentioned late was Larry Ogunjobi as part of that defensive tackle group, just because, yeah, I'm interested to see how they're going to integrate Jordan Phillips into the mix here, especially since he hasn't practiced at all at training camp or played a preseason game, just essentially being ready to go at the team's will, coming back for a fourth stint with the team. I'll be interested with that defensive tackle group and seeing how that all plays out.
Yeah, I believe what Sal maybe indicated a little bit, that Jordan Phillips, right now, he gets the roster spot of Larry Ogunjobi. And then when he comes back, well, you don't know what your injuries are going to be or anything like that. But then, yeah, so now, then you can scratch your head and go, all right, well, who's gone then? You know, because Okunjobi's going to be there. So he now comes onto the roster after his suspension is over. And then I think the question would be, well, then who is Jordan Phillips replacing here? I mean, I look down the names and I can't give you one right now. So, but again, you don't know what your injury situation is going to be in 6 weeks. So, you know, but certainly, I suppose I did raise an eyebrow, but it did make sense because you are going to lose a guy for 6 weeks. So at least for the near term, I think it makes sense.
And that's sort of our topic that we're going to be looking at today. For anybody that wants to join us at 803-0550 or 1-888-552-550, the toll-free number here. What roster groups or positional groups intrigue you heading into the regular season? I put up a Twitter poll, Paul, and people can vote in that. The three positions that I included are the receiving group, which is wide receiver, tight ends, the defensive front, defensive ends, defensive tackles, the secondary, which is cornerbacks and safeties, or if you've got another group that you're particularly paying attention to, you're more than welcome to join us and let us know your thoughts. Again, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. And I've been thinking a lot about this, Paul, just because, you know, after that Bears game, there was just so many questions in terms of, you know, that was almost the game where it's just like the worst preseason outing you can think of was that Bears game. Just guys that weren't starters, didn't particularly perform well, then, you know, that raises more questions in terms of, okay, what's the status of this player? What's the status of that player? And then going into Saturday night, I think it was a nice little chance for everybody to be like, okay, we can take a breath. We can calm down because those guys that might have struggled against the Bears really did a nice job performing against the Bucks. And again, you know, it was a different circumstance because Chicago, they played some of their starters early on. Then it just kind of snowballed on them. But, you know, going up against the positional groups here with, you know, for Tampa, they didn't have their starters play. They had their second, third string guys. But still, they played relatively well. I think it was a nice sigh of relief to see that the team kind of responded, the group entirely responded well against Tampa Bay. But still, a lot of particularly interesting questions with this team heading into the regular season in just a matter of days.
Yeah, what concerned me a lot about the Bear game wasn't the performance against the Bears starters. That should, if that doesn't happen, the Bears have some big problems. I mean, the Bears starters should have walked all over the Bills. Second and third stringers or fourth stringers, maybe in some cases, with no questions asked. What concerned me is when the Bears got the starters out of there, and now it's basically second, third, and fourth stringers against second, third, and fourth stringers. and the Bills were just still getting their doors blown off. It was almost like there was no resistance whatsoever. They were getting manhandled on the line of scrimmage. They couldn't make any plays. It was just a horrible football game. And, you know, that's basically what this Tampa Bay game was. It was second, third, fourth stringers against each other, and that the Bills came to play. And I noticed, you know, something that Sean McDermott has been talking about that we saw during Hard Knocks is, you know, he called out his leaders a little bit. You know, said, I'm not seeing from you guys what I've been seeing in the past from
you. Yeah.
You know, where are you guys been? What are you doing?
Yeah, that stood out right away.
Yeah, I need to see this from you. And even though a lot of those leaders didn't play in this Tampa game, I really took notice on the sideline. And they were extremely engaged. You know, and I only want to say a bunch of names because I saw a bunch of them, almost all of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, somebody made a play. They came over to the sideline. They got mauled. and you know, the starters were really excited for them. And I think that's what he was talking about, you know. Get to the place and help your player up immediately type of a thing. Get there quickly. Be together. Be excited for each other, you know, that type of leadership. And I'm sure Sean McDermott was a lot happier with what he saw, because those types of things, I agree with Sean McDermott. I think those things are important. They do become contagious, you know, on the sideline. You know, if Josh Allen is happy in the fourth quarter with 3 minutes left and is excited and going crazy over a play that's made by a guy who might never see the NFL, you know, well, I should probably be that excited too if the MVP of the league is like that, and he was like that. So that was good to see too. Obviously, those players took heed to what Sean McDermott had said to them.
Yeah, that's one thing that stood out to me with the last episode of Hard Knocks there was just even before knowing what was said kind of after that Bears game, McDermott was looking for those guys, those leaders, those guys that have been around for a while to step up even further than what they've already done, which kind of was funny to see that and then know that the Bears game was coming and that sort of response. So I'm interested to see how this week's episode's going to go. 803-0550 is the number, 1-888-550-2550, and we'll head out to the phone lines here and get some thoughts from Bills fans here. Mike is in Denver with some thoughts on the Bills. Mike, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Yes, good morning. I guess, you know, this is almost comical with this defensive line and Jordan Phillips coming back for like the 99th time. This is like a merry-go-round with this defensive line, with this Puta Ford, I mean, Boogie Basham, and then you had that other guy that was just kind of there for 3-4 years that they had that was sat out during COVID. Sooner or later, when is someone going to step up and say, we can't coach the defensive line? I mean, I don't know who the defensive line coach is and why this GM can't analyze defensive line talent and bring some talent in here and why they can't count on who they already have on the roster and the guys that they have brought in to fill the job, that they don't have to bring in Jordan Phillips.
I don't think Jordan Phillips is here and Brayton to take the place of Daquan Jones or Dwayne Carter.
Mm-hmm.
Or anything like that. I believe it's because of the suspension, quite honestly. You need another guy right now. They know Jordan Phillips. They know what they're going to get from him. But I don't think he's here to replace anybody. I don't disagree with the caller. I think the defensive line, it just seems like they keep drafting defensive linemen, and I'm kind of been underwhelmed by a lot of it. You don't get the performances and quite honestly, I haven't been real excited about A.J. Epenesa since he's been a Buffalo Bill.
No.
I have been at times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems like there's maybe three or four games where he becomes dominant, makes some phenomenal plays, and sometimes he winds up in the end zone with the ball. And but then it's like, well, then it goes away for a while, and it's the consistency of that. So I don't disagree with the caller there that, you know, a lot of, you know, what they've tried to do with the defensive line just hasn't worked. But in this particular case, I don't think he's being brought in because they're unhappy with Dwayne Carter or Daquan Jones or others. I just think there's an opening right now.
Yeah, and I want to point to a point that the caller made with regards to a little bit of criticism for Brandon Bean in terms of drafting on the defensive front. Yes, I mean, yeah, you could say that it's been sort of a struggle with Brandon Bean on the defensive front to try and draft guys that are contributors. You know, that's why a huge reason why they drafted this year the way they did is because they're trying to get better on the defensive line. T.J. Sanders, Deion Walker, Landon Jackson were all drafted up front, and they were 1, 2, 3 in a row in the second, third, fourth round. There's reasons why he's trying to draft those guys is because he knows that's an issue. I know last year they drafted Dwayne Carter in the third round, and Carter, I thought, performed admirably until he had his wrist injury, and then when he came back from his wrist injury, he was kind of like Keon Coleman. That little step back and that momentum that he was gaining early on, he has the injury, and then when he comes back, it kind of hurt because he didn't get some valuable reps. He didn't get the time on the field to continue that growth and progression as a rookie, and it was a step back for a guy like Dwayne Carter. And, you know, obviously you go back even further. You know, they didn't even address a defensive front in 2023. In 2022, they also didn't really address the defensive front. And you have to go back to 2021 when they drafted Greg Rousseau, who I think has worked out fairly well for the Bills. He mentioned Boogie Basham. That was obviously a big swing and a miss. But, yeah, I mean, I agree with you, Paul, in terms of the Jordan Phillips point where it's just like, yeah, he's a guy that's super familiar with the Bills. The Bills are familiar with him. They seem to really like each other, and it's just a fact of, you know, he's not coming in to replace a guy like a Dwayne Carter or one of the rookies that they have on the roster. He's more so coming in because I don't know what the situation is with Larry Ogunjobi. I don't know if he's going to make the roster. I don't know if even Daquan Jones is going to make the roster. I've questioned the fact of Daquan Jones even being part of the roster going forward into this regular season. I'm not sure what that is, but I don't necessarily think it's a concern with bringing in Jordan Phillips for that reason. And I think Brandon Bean has kind of seen what the last few years of the draft and how his team has been built. And I think that's a huge emphasis and something that I'll get into next segment with the topic that we have today. I think that Brandon Bean has seen what he wants to address, especially up front on the defensive line, and he's trying to make that happen. 803. Yeah, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And I agree. I'm glad you brought up those two names of Sanders and Walker too, because, you know, I don't think they're unhappy with them either.
Right.
You know, with what they've seen so far in training camp. And I think they've seen some great improvement too, from what they've seen in the spring and training camp as they've moved forward also.
Yeah. 803-0551, 888-550-2550 are the numbers to get a hold of us. Which position group intrigues you the most heading into the regular season? There's a Twitter poll up that we have. You can vote on that. Feel free to chime in as well and give us your thoughts on the topic.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
As well, when we come back, I'll give you my position group that intrigues me the most, Paul, and you can chime in as well. 803-0550 is the number here. Brayton Wilson, Paul Hamilton filling in on the Extra Point Show today here on WGR.
Yeah, it's exactly where I want it to be. I think it's really, really fun. You know, this defense is going to be really creative. I know what you see in the last three preseason games is like that much of a gigantic playbook. But we've got some cool stuff on there. And, you know, I think there's, you know, some different ways to sort of think about blitzes and pressures and movements. And, you know, that's always the interesting part, you know, that I don't think I knew about coming to a new program is like the football 101 is the same. But like learning a new style and a new like philosophy of how to attack offenses, I think has been really cool. And it's just sort of opened up my own toolbox of how I understand football and, you know, can kind of get the answers to the test a little bit.
Bills defensive end pass rusher Michael Hoyt, Canadian-born player.
Good interview.
Yeah. He spoke after the win on Saturday over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, part of the pass rush defensive front group that we've kind of addressed today. By the way, Brayton Wilson, Paul Hamilton with you. Hopefully you're joining us here on the Extra Point Show on WGR Sports Radio 550, filling in today. 803-0550 is the number here. 1-888-550-2550 are the numbers if you care to join us. Today's topic that we are focusing in on is which position group intrigues you the most heading into the regular season. Again, we got a Twitter poll up on my account, at Brayton J. Wilson. You can vote for either the receiving group, which is wide receivers, tight ends, the defensive front, which includes defensive ends, defensive tackles, the secondary, cornerbacks, safeties, or other. Feel free to join us on the phones, on social media. Paul, I don't know where you sit on this, but I know my clear-cut answer on this. And we kind of teased it a little bit and talking about some of the players. It's the defensive front for me. I think that I'm really intrigued with how that's going to play. I mean, we got some obvious names that are going to be in the fold. You know, the Greg Rousseau's, the Ed Oliver's that are going to be there. But really, and then the Joey Bosa, obviously, as well. But then after that, it kind of gets really interesting in terms of where things kind of stand, especially now that you're going to be likely throwing Jordan Phillips into the mix here with this group. I am really intrigued how roster cutdown day is going to go, how once Larry Ogunjobi, if he even makes the roster, is going to factor into this situation. Because, you know, obviously, yes, he's going to be suspended for the first six games, and you could easily just put him on the suspended list or however that goes, and then just have him on. And then once his suspension is up, then you deal with him. But, yeah. I mean, I think back to when they signed Larry Ogunjobi, and Brandon Bean was kind of caught off guard by the fact that he was facing a possible suspension compared to Michael Hoyt, where Michael Hoyt was like, oh, Brandon Bean knew that, and it's just like, well, we're going to sign him to a three-year deal anyway, so whatever, we'll just take that. But it caught him off guard with the suspension there. And really, with Ogunjobi, I don't know what he's necessarily done this training camp, this preseason, that's stood out, at least in my eyes, to warrant him to garner a roster spot even before the suspension. So I think that really intrigues me the most, looking at the defensive front group. Again, there are the surefire names that are going to be here, the Rousseaus, the Bosas, the Ed Olivers, and then everyone else after that. I'm really looking forward to seeing how that's kind of panned out. As I mentioned earlier, I even think Daquan Jones could be on the chopping block. I just think that given his age, given his significance on the roster at this stage, and you got two guys that are young and upcoming right behind him that have, I think, performed admirably in the training camp and preseason to at least get them some significant looks, and with their salary cap situation, it might benefit the Bills in a way if they look at Daquan Jones and they say, you know what, with the situation we're in, it might save us a little bit. We will have a little bit of a dead cap hit, but I think if I saw correctly, because I was looking this up last week when I was on with Derek, the savings that the Bills will have will be more than the dead cap for Daquan Jones, and I'm interested with what he might have in store with the potential of him being cut.
And you're right, with Ogunjobi, that's possible. I mean, once the suspension is over, maybe they could just release him, especially if they've liked what they've seen through the season so far, you know, when that ends. The reason, and that was before, you know, what the preseason games and everything else, but the fact that they kept him around after they found out about the suspension, they kept him anyway. You know, mm-hmm. In both cases, as you mentioned, where they could have just said, you know what, nah, if this is going to be a suspension, let's just go another way, you know, type of a scenario there. So the fact that they didn't do that, I think maybe bides well for him. But again, they have to see where the injuries are at and that kind of thing with, you know, once he gets back to where they are. The guy that I really enjoyed his preseason because of the improvement I thought we saw was the third round pick, Landon Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
He would have, but this is expected. You're talking about a rookie here. But I thought in training camp there were some up days and some down days, and that's totally expected. I didn't sit there and go, oh, this guy's no good or anything, because then you would see some good things from him. And I think the preseason games, I think we saw a lot of progress as he went through the preseason. I thought, he put some good pressure on the quarterback in this last game against Tampa Bay and got to the spot that he needed to get to. And I liked a lot of – I just liked the improvement I saw in him as the preseason went by, which is what you expect out of a guy that you drafted in the third round and as a rookie. And I think he came through with that during the preseason.
Yeah, I agree with you there with Landon Jackson. I think didn't really see much of him in the first two games, and then in the third game he started to kind of really start to come into his own a little bit here. And I think the ascension for Landon Jackson is certainly a possibility with him. I just keep looking back to Sal's 53-man roster projection. He posted that on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it these days, at Sal Sports. Yeah, I just keep looking at that, and I keep looking at the defensive group, and especially defensive tackle when you throw in the Jordan Phillips idea, really makes it that much more complex and makes it a little more interesting. I did also bring up the Daquan Jones post June 1st release, so if he is cut as part of this. At least this is what I believe is to be the case, and I believe SpotTrack is right. The 2025 dead cap would be $3.9 million. The dead cap for 2026 would be a little over $3.7 million. But the savings this year on the salary cap will be $5.5 million. So if they're in a situation where they feel that they're going to be better off with the salary cap situation and Daquan Jones is part of that solution to be better off, that might be something that's of interest. And plus, given his age and maybe could one of the rookies or somebody else in that defensive front perform just as well as a Daquan Jones on the roster?
Yeah, definitely. And in this day and age of football and hockey and, you know, where there's salary caps to deal with and everything, that all goes into consideration when you're talking about your final cuts in some senses. I mean, if a guy's really, really bad, you can't keep him. You got to figure out a way to get around the salary cap or whatever the situation might be with it. But even when we were talking to Sal earlier, you know, we were talking about some cuts, and he brought up, well, how does that, you know, you got to look at the salary cap. Now, what does that do with the salary cap as opposed to keeping the player and those types of things? And that would drive me insane, right, if I had to figure out all that stuff. And I would rather, if I'm a GM and a coach, say, okay, we're cutting this guy, and whatever. Not, well, we're cutting this guy, but what does that mean against our salary cap? What does that mean against this? And it all goes into effect then.
Yeah. Another position I didn't include in this group, Paul, but I'm interested to see how it plays out come Tuesday afternoon, is linebacker, because obviously it's Terrell Bernard, Matt Milano, and Dorian Williams are locks. Joe Andreessen, I think, is more so a lock than anything. He played really well on Saturday night against Tampa Bay, especially after a game against Chicago where I think it was noticeable that Andreessen might have not have been his best against Chicago. I thought he was phenomenal against Tampa Bay. And then after that, is Shaq Thompson's roster spot a guarantee? I know he's a veteran. I know he's got ties with McDermott and Bean because he was drafted by those guys in Carolina. Is he a lock? Jimmy Charlo, who obviously has been featured in Hard Knocks and I think is a great story. I think he's also had a really decent preseason. I think he was in particularly very good against Tampa Bay. Eddie Olofosio, he was a draft pick of the Bills last year out of Washington. And then Keonta Jenkins got a lot of looks. I don't think he's going to make it, but that's another position where you see the names, you see who might be possibly somebody that could make the roster and battling it out. That to me is another intriguing group of positional group that is going to be looked at heavily heading into Tuesday, but you know, maybe not so much as intriguing as the other ones that we're talking about today.
And you can check my memory here on the number. I remember on Hard Knocks, McDermott saying, I think he said it was three, it might have been two, you know, three guys are going to make this team for special teams. They made it because of their special teams. Do you remember that comment? Was it three or two? Something like that.
I want to say it was three, but I can't remember.
I thought so too.
Yeah.
I guess it doesn't really matter. Either two or three guys are going to make this team because of special teams alone. And if that's the case, I think Jimmy Charlo is on the roster.
I think so too.
And especially with what he did at linebacker, you know, to put on film at what he did with linebacker also, I don't think he's going to kill him if he winds up at linebacker during a game. But when McDermott said that and the way this kid has performed on special teams, and, you know, he was a great college player, but injuries have derailed his NFL development. And, you know, they talked about on the broadcast that Brandon Bean said he was pretty much at the top of their radar when it came to, all right, we're looking for a guy, you know, with what they were thinking with special teams, and a guy that maybe has not really been able to get an opportunity for certain reasons. And he was at the top of that list. So when you say who's going to make the team, I think the combination of special teams and what he's done at linebacker, I don't see how they could ignore that. So I think he would make the team with that in mind.
803-0551, 888-550-2550 is the number here. If you want to get connected with us, that would be absolutely allowable. That's also brought to you by Northtown Kia. Getting connected with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Brayton Wilson, Paul Hamilton, filling in on the Extra Point Show with you here on WGR. We'll step aside, and when we come back, we will have one more segment before we're joined by Matt Bove from Channel 7 WKBW-TV. He joins us right at the top of the 11 o'clock hour. Talk more about the Bills here on WGR. All right, we're back.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brayton Wilson joined by Paul Hamilton today. And Paul, I know that we're talking football today, but I can't help but start to get excited a little bit for hockey season. I'm already starting to get my gears getting going for the upcoming hockey season. Even though I'm really excited about football, I couldn't help but think earlier this morning, just, you know, normally when you and me host, we're talking hockey, but it was just one of those things coming up in my mind and my internal discussions that I have that, oh man, we're only about a month and a half away from hockey. This is really strange. Knowing football season is just days away, but I'm already thinking about hockey. What's wrong with me?
Yeah, well, actually, we're less than a month away from the next time you and I are probably together. And that's the Prospects Tournament.
Yes.
Brian Cozy will be with us, too, and we always have a great time with that. We get to see some of the younger players in action during that tournament, mm-hmm. and it really gives us a chance to see who's improved, who hasn't, who might be somebody that can, you know, they can move forward with. And we've seen players that maybe you didn't really realize that, you know what, these guys are pretty good hockey players. Maybe they can be a part of the Buffalo Sabres over the years. So I'm excited that that's almost here for us.
Yeah, I don't know how to feel about this team heading into this year. I am intrigued with still some of the prospects that are in the system going forward, and I am looking forward to our broadcast, Paul. The Prospects Challenge this year is going to be the Sabres play on the 12th, the 13th, and the 15th of September, because the 14th the Bills will be playing, and they usually do not schedule the Bills and the Sabres playing on the same day during that tournament. So very interesting to see how the prospects look, how they compare to some of the other prospects around the league. I just that was something that just came up to my mind. I don't know why it did, and it probably shouldn't at this point, Paul, because, you know, football is the more pertinent topic right now with everything going on. This is in January, you know, January 10th, where there's nothing going on, and it's just kind of like, hey, we're pondering a bunch of different things. Like, right now, it's definitely should be more so football, and then once things get going with the regular season, then it's just like, okay, we can let the hockey season kind of creep in and take over some conversations as well. But yeah, I guess it comes up from time to time in my mind, but I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, you know, they think they've improved a lot. I think they have improved somewhat. I don't know if I'd say a lot, but I do think they're going to be better defensively. But anytime anybody asks me, well, where do you think they're going to be able to break this string this year? And my first question back is, tell me what the goaltending's going to be like.
Yeah.
If the goaltending's like it was last year, no.
Nope.
They don't have a chance.
I agree.
If Luukkonen is like he was to finish the last 35 games 2 years ago, absolutely they have a shot, a very good shot at doing it, because I think they have improved somewhat. But, you know, they're going to have to get more goals from within from a couple of guys to make up for the Paterka goals. But they certainly, won't be hurt by the defense of Paterka. Defensively, as he's one of the worst, had some of the worst numbers around when it came to analytics because of his poor defensive play. But to me, if you're not getting the big saves at the big time, you can't survive being 29th in the league defensively and make the playoffs and be too well. You just can't. So that has to get better. And I think the quality of chances against the goaltending, I think, will be better this year. They won't be facing, I think, some of the wild 3-on-0s and those types of things, because I think they have gotten better defensively. But still, you got to make the save. And mistakes are going to be made. And when they're made, you got to bail out your teammates. And if the goaltending isn't bailing out their teammates at the right times to help them win hockey games, then no. This streak is not going to get broken this year.
I agree. All right, Matt Beauvais from Channel 7 WKBW-TV joins us after this timeout, and you're listening to the Extra Point Show, the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, It's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. amazon.com/prime.